you for listening to our podcast brought to you by AAA Physical Therapy and Howard County's Dragon Digital Radio. Without any further ado, let us welcome our very important guests for this specific edition. We have Miss Darlene and Miss Bijal, who are both from Somerford Place. So, could you guys go ahead and provide a little bit more introduction on who you are, what you do, and all the good stuff that you do?
Well, hello. My name is Darlene Sellers. I am the Marketing Community Relations Director at Somerford in Columbia. We are a memory care, Alzheimer's dementia community. We are the only standalone in Howard County that provides care for persons living with memory loss of different forms of dementia. Bijal works in our building as the director of rehab, as well as in our sister community, which is Heartlands in Ellicott City. We have been in Howard County for over 14 years. We are affiliated with Five Star Senior Living. We are a private pay community, but we work closely with Alzheimer's Foundation and the Alzheimer's Association for families who need assistance with funding for care of their loved ones, as well as getting information about veteran benefits. I am a nurse at Somerford. We have full-time nurses there. We are all on one floor community where we have about 64 residents who are from various areas within Maryland through different parts of the United States looking for that specific care for memory loss.
Thank you.
Hi, and my name is Bijal Amin. I am, as Darlene said, the rehab director for Agility Physical Therapy Solutions that is located in-house at Somerford Place in Columbia. I am by nature an occupational therapist and a certified in dementia practitioner. I work between two buildings, Somerford being my base and Heartlands in Ellicott City, twice a week as well as an occupational therapist. And what our focus is, Agility Physical Therapy Solution provides in-house occupational therapy, physical therapy, and speech therapy. And the idea to be in-house is that you, at this point, it's hard for your loved ones with dementia to go out to a community where they might have difficulty interacting with somebody who's not trained to deal with dementia residents. So this way, when it's in-house, it's so much easier because we're all trained professionals in the building. We work with them in the building. You're not expected to take them outside. You're not putting the stress on the patient or the resident to take them in and out of the facility. This way, it's inside the building. We provide Medicare A, we provide Medicare B services. And while they're in the building, what the best part of it is we get to know these residents day in and day out. And we know their habits, we know their behavior. So if there's any changes that we see throughout the course of the day, we can distinguish between just a basic change of dementia or is it something that's more related to a physical component where they need our services.
And before we dive in a little bit more with dementia, mm-hmm. is that for our listeners out there, and that's actually one of the services that we may provide mm-hmm. in the future regarding occupational therapy and speech therapy. But what's the difference between occupational therapy and speech therapy to our listeners that may not necessarily know? What
occupational therapy focuses a lot on basic functional activities of daily living. So the idea is to teach, if you've lost components on how to brush your teeth, bathe, dressing, eating, we will come in and teach you how to do those. We will train your loved ones. We'll train the caregiver on how to provide you strategies to keep you functioning as much as possible. Whereas in for the speech component, the speech therapist, which can also do cognitive part and they can do the swallow part, what they do is they'll come in and they'll look at to see if you can swallow properly. Are you choking if you're swallowing liquids or solids? Are you having trouble where the food is just staying in your mouth and you're not able to get it down? They will look at why is it that you can't speak properly. They will try to see what enables you to speak properly or what they can do to provide caregiver education on how to get you to speak properly. They'll teach the loved ones, the caregivers, the resident themselves, how to pronunciate properly, and they'll do it over repetition. For foods, they will look at, do you need to change your diet? Do you need to modify the diet? So do you need to go from just eating basic, regular piece of chicken to where it's very cut up, or is it pureed? The idea is to prevent the choking hazards. The idea is to get you malnutrition, whereas in for OT, it's to keep you enabled and functioning regardless of what your diagnosis is.
And again, to the listeners out there, these are basic things that Ms. Bijal has just identified. And again, if you don't have any issues of taking care of yourself, mm-hmm. eating pretty much whatever you can eat, let's not take that for granted. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, as life happens, whatever that is, and we may need help there in the future. And again, just don't take these basic activities for granted and appreciate what mm-hmm. we can do on yes. a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Let's dive in a little bit more here. I know you mentioned about the Alzheimer's Association mm-hmm. earlier,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to have a better understanding, and hopefully the listeners would as well. What's the difference between Alzheimer's exactly and dementia?
And it's common for that confusion, because a lot of times it becomes a blanket statement. You have memory loss, you must have Alzheimer's. The misunderstanding is that actually dementia is the umbrella, and there are various forms of dementia, Alzheimer's being one of them. And a lot of times when persons have memory loss, a lot of times it is just aging. It's not necessarily dementia or Alzheimer's. And then you have vascular dementia, which a lot of times is being diagnosed, but then with the Alzheimer's, someone could have Parkinson's or someone could have Huntington. And that would be associated with the Alzheimer's. So the difference is that dementia has a list of characteristics, the memory loss, the confusion. Alzheimer's is specific to what that memory loss stems from. So when you have dementia and Alzheimer's, they're both blanket as far as having memory loss, but dementia is what the umbrella is. You have dementia, now what form of it do you have? You have frontal temporal dementia. You have Alzheimer's dementia. So there's different forms of dementia that you have. So yeah, there is a difference, but it's so common when someone say dementia, that's great, but then what specific dementia do I have? So then what treatment would I need? What will be my behavior changes? What characteristics will fall under that? And then that's when they start to determine if it's Alzheimer's, if it's frontal lobe, is alcohol induced, and the various ones that come with that.
And that's why that's my first question,
sure.
because there are so many aspects into this, but the important thing is to identify exactly what the problem is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And just like what you've identified, so that we can provide the necessary treatment to help with, to help individuals with that type of situation.
Yes.
All and right. Alzheimer's mm-hmm. can be, it's a progressive disease, and dementia is as well, but dementia as we see it all the time. Sometimes there's different characteristics. It's more of symptoms that you're seeing. It hinders your daily abilities, a lot of the things you can do. So sometimes you'll get a UTI and somebody will say, oh, my mom's starting to lose her memory. But it could possibly just be a urinary tract infection that's causing symptoms of dementia that can be reversible. Mm-hmm. Whereas an Alzheimer's is non-reversible and it is progressive.
Why is that the case for Alzheimer's specifically?
It's because the way Alzheimer's works with you and the brain, it actually kills mm-hmm. your brain cells. Mm-hmm. It's actually destroying the tissue in the brain. Whereas in a lot of times, some of the dementia is not causing the damage like that, but it's impeding your judgment. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Alzheimer's, it is destroying the tissue itself, which is not able to regenerate at this mm-hmm. point.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, as you mentioned, you have in-house where you have all of these services for agility care, mm-hmm. correct? And on that note, for our listeners, so they can go ahead and identify who do they reach out to, and I think this is a good way for them to help differentiate further, just like how we try to understand Alzheimer's sure. versus dementia and mm-hmm. memory loss as a whole. Who are good candidates for your services regarding memory care?
Anyone who has either had a diagnosis of some form of dementia, someone who may be currently in an assisted living and they have a change of condition, and it's not a UTI where they've been able to have an antibiotic mm-hmm. and it was temporary, but it's something that's seen as a common behavior change, something as simple as insomnia, maybe something we call sundowning. So in the evening time, they're starting to see more agitation than they usually would. They still can pretty much function independently, but they need additional assistance around the clock. So we have 24-hour nursing care, because in assisted living and in independent living, you can do things on your own. You don't have to have eyes on you consistently. Once you have behavior changes and it's something that's been consistent and you have been diagnosed with some form of memory loss, dementia, then you need that added care. So at Somerford, we have persons who can come from home and loved ones that try their best to manage the care, but a change has occurred and they notice, like Bijo was saying, it's not changing back. It's something that has become a new permanent condition for this loved one. They move into our community. We have plenty, many who have lived outside the area and the loved one lives in Howard County now, so they want to bring them closer here. So instead of having them go home, they're able to bring them to our community. Because when you're living with dementia, 5 o'clock on Tuesday is not 5 o'clock on Wednesday. There's a change. And it's not something you can predict. It's not something that you can alter. It's really day by day.
It's the idea of giving you peace of mind that your loved one is in a safe place where there's 24/7 eyes on them. You have all in-house facilities. Everything's provided right there. And the biggest thing is that this person with their memory loss is not going to attempt to walk out of the house and put themselves in danger. They're in a safe, closed-in environment that they have accessibility to everything around them without endangering themselves outside. Mm-hmm. It's that peace of mind that you have.
And security.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's what I was thinking about as well, is because if you are, is it safe to say that you are not yourself?
Right.
Okay. And if you're headed in that direction and a little bit that is not, that's not reversible anymore, you need to have that peace of mind that somebody's indeed taking care of you, because if I'm not myself and if I'm just going to go ahead and walk out and I don't know how I'm going to come back or anything to that effect, you can imagine that could be very concerning.
And it could be, why would I come back? Because I don't even know you anymore. I don't know my spouse. I don't know my children. So now, am I safe to be home anymore? Because I can become combative. You're saying, come on in, Mom, come on in, Dad. Mom and Dad does not identify you any longer. And that is a part of that. You know, they have moments where they may have memory, where they...
It's some clarity there.
Clarity.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it is just that. And that is a time many families say, you know, we've tried the home health care. We've tried to be of assistance with being at home, thinking they feel like familiarity is going to be helpful at home, but it's not familiar anymore because that's not home to them. A lot of times they're going back to their early memories, short-term memories, what they no longer have.
That sounds really tough. I can imagine not only for the person, but for everybody
and
involved.
And I think the other thing we also have, and I know Darlene can agree, is also respite care.
Yep. Yes.
And that is, you know, where a family member that is taking care of somebody at home, and after a while they just need a break. They just need a little bit of own self-care. They can bring them to Somerford and they can stay there for a couple of weeks.
30 days,
you know, give themselves a little break, take some time to rejuvenate themselves before they bring this loved one back home. And a lot of times when they bring them into a facility like this, they realize how much the facility has to offer and how much it takes off of them to now be happy and spend those good quality moments with them instead of stressing over that loved one all the time. Mm-hmm. And it just changes the dynamics that you see with families all the time.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that you brought that, because here in Howard County, there are so many programs out there that wherein they discuss caring for the caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The important thing here is we need to take care of ourselves in order to be able to take care of others.
Right. So, and that option's out there. And I think a lot of people don't know that there's options like that for short periods of time, because they feel like once you take them to these facilities, that's it. No.
Yes.
There are short periods of time just to get yourself back together.
Mm-hmm. Or take care of a whole bunch of other things while knowing that somebody
is taken care of and they're safe.
Yes. All right. Awesome. Now, as you mentioned earlier, that it could be inevitable for some individuals, but as we grow older, it's not like we're just going to go ahead and give up and say, oh, hey, yes, I'm going to have memory loss.
Yeah, right. Yes.
So as we all age, what should we be doing overall first to have vitality as much as possible? What do we need to do? What do we need to be engaged with in order to delay any onset of not only from a memory loss perspective, but just going back to the basic functions of what we do whether it's swallowing or brushing teeth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think one of the main things is to really seeing your doctor regularly, making sure you have a medical history that can be followed. Because a lot of times when they're running blood work, when they're seeing a change in condition, whether you are 65 or 85, they can start where there's a trend being that's occurring. And with that, whether you've been diagnosed with memory loss, whether you've been diagnosed with any form of disease that will affect you in the long run, there's some precautions that you can take, and then they can be very proactive. One thing I did want to share also is that a lot of times we'll see families who may decide or have to take their loved one to the hospital. And that is a time when they realize, hey, you know, all that we've been seeing really is a change that's permanent. And what, like what Bijou was saying with the respite that we have, when you say taking care of yourself, that's a part of it. But another thing is with our physical therapy in-house, some of our residents may have lived at home. Because it's a familiar surrounding, they have coexisted with their loved ones. So they've compensated. You know, the wife may forget something. The husband may be the one that can walk. So they've compensated for quite some time until they've had a hospital visit. Once they have the hospital visit, they're really to identify, you know what? They're declining. There's a change. Or they've had a fall. And they can't quite go home just yet. So having our in-house rehab along with the respite gives them that bit of a reprieve, but it supports that new change, especially when it's memory loss, because Bijou's team is strong in the understanding and the education and training of when someone has had memory loss. You can be diagnosed with something when you come into the hospital that you didn't come in with, you didn't realize what it was, and then you go to maybe a subacute rehab and then you're going home. But there's been no support long-term. And long-term being over 14 days or 21 days, mm-hmm. which kind of like the insurance will cover. So with Agility, it allows that to happen. You can come for the respite. You can benefit from the therapy there and still have a safe discharge home because you've kind of had that stability of care. So it's kind of almost like a wraparound service when you're looking at being proactive and creating a medical history for yourself, getting that care, getting that treatment, being understanding and realistic on what's really going on and identifying it. We find a lot of couples who just have that till death do us part. So they stay together for forever. And unfortunately, where you see the one who is memory loss, the other one may have another diagnosis that is not being identified. So you have that situation that you want to also have the loved ones, children or grandchildren, to be aware of. So when you say, what can you do to kind of delay it? I don't know if you can delay it, but you just want to have top mind awareness of the change and condition of your loved one, seeing your doctor regularly, maintaining your medical appointments, talking about changes, and then having your spouse be there so they can support something that you may be in denial of. So they can say, oh, I am noticing this and that. So communication is huge.
And that's something we really emphasize on when we have them in therapy, whether you're respite or whether you're already staying there. We emphasize a lot on family communication. Mm-hmm. And while the resident is with us in our facility, we include the family as well in a lot of our treatment programs. Because once their family sometimes comes in, you don't know what to say to this person anymore because things have changed. Mm-hmm. They don't recognize you. That's a big component of therapy that we bring in. The physical therapy does it. The speech therapist does it. The occupational therapist does it, is talk to families, educate them on techniques, on things to bring up, you know, small likes and dislikes that the patient had, talk about history, finding it, communication, any way of communicating with them. Just because they have a sense of memory loss, they are forgetting things, doesn't mean they don't still understand you. A lot of times you'll be surprised, you may say something and they haven't recognized it, but then your third sentence to them, they'll go, oh, and they'll mention something back to you, and to you, it's a sign now. You're going, I've never heard you say that before, because the lack of communication sometimes is there a lot too. People forget that just because it's memory loss doesn't mean you don't say something. Always talk to them like they can hear you. Never ignore them.
Yep, no doubt. And then with Mr. Lean, with what you identified earlier, and I think that's a common thread that mm-hmm. we always hear with the podcasts that we do here regarding collaboration mindsets for health and wellness, is sure. the prevention component.
Yes.
And might as well deal with earlier issues versus having a snowball effect later
yes.
on.
Yes.
And then just going back from a rehabilitation point of view, mm-hmm. no doubt these are huge factors or components to consider of the home exercises program. Mm-hmm. And of course, the support system that surrounds that patient in order to have that common thread of message to the person so that it's being done continuously.
Yes.
And then identifying as well what works, what doesn't work, mm-hmm. because that's...
Everyone's different.
Everyone's different, yes.
Everyone's very different. When you get to learn more about them, no matter what you've been taught in school, you'll start learning. The physical therapist has a different personality where they can engage with the resident. The occupational therapist will engage with the resident in another way. The speech therapist will engage with the resident in another way. And that is something the families love seeing in that building, love seeing in a dementia care, in a memory care, because again, at home, you were doing everything you could as one individual person or your loved ones were doing everything they could to take care of this person. Now you're stressing yourself out. That lack of communication comes over time again, because there's so much you can only say to them. And now when you bring them into a facility like this, you see more hands-on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that hands-on that you provide these patients or these residents that are come to you. We have a resident that's been living there probably for, I want to say, 7-8 years. Unfortunately, they broke their hip. They were at a subacute place, and the family's choice was to bring him back into the facility she was familiar with, because the recognition that she had, even though she had this memory loss, was apparently very visible when they brought her in. She immediately, her tone changed, her perspective changed, where she was combative at the subacute place had totally transferred over, and now she's very calm and collective because she recognized, and she recognized the familiar faces, and she also and the familiar faces not just were able to connect with her, but knew how to deal with her. Whereas when she was at a subacute place, it was so different for her.
Precisely. And again, it's one of those things that's very important that we try to focus on, is the building of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just whatever degrees or CEUs that you have done.
Yes.
But where the bedside manners will go ahead and come in and so on and so forth. So, all right. Now, what should we do to take care of our ability to remember? Since we're focusing in terms of memory loss, what do we need to do on a daily basis so that, again, I know, could we really hinder it from happening or what have you, but how can we be as healthy as possible, especially from the memory point of view?
I think something is huge, especially in the Howard County community. There's a lot going on. There's a lot for the seniors to do. And what you don't want to, at the retirement, let's say at retirement age, to isolate. You want to make sure that you stay engaged, you stay social, you stay interacting, because persons who move into Somerford, that's what we support. If you were a singer, we want to make sure you're involved in music. If you used to read, we'll make sure you're a part of a reading club. If you love gardening, we want to make sure you're able to garden in our community. That's what you want to do at home. And you want to make sure that you are exercising and that you're definitely stimulating your mind in as much as you can support the needs of yourself and others. I think a lot of times, even with our spouses who have loved ones who move into our community, or some of the children who may think, oh, if dad has it, there's a chance that I may get it or what have you. And it's just educating yourself, identifying changes, change in behavior, change in patterns throughout your day, and making sure that you, again, communicate. But I think a lot of persons who become of age and they retire, you become so conditioned to stay home and to not to be engaged and to not be social and not to interact. And it's easy. It's an easy way to do it because you're used to the routine of going to work and now you come home and make those choices. I think one of the biggest things is just being supportive in the senior community so that you are part of what's going on and being around others who can identify if there's a change in what's going on with you.
That's a key word, active, just being as active as much as possible. And that doesn't mean you have to be outside your house all day long, but take a quick walk. You know, a lot of the Howard County does have support groups, just little activities to go to that are related just for seniors, little talks. Try to attend those. And that just gives you an opening into ideas. It gives you an opening into things that you may need in the future. It's just an extra resource.
So one last question here. And I know you talked earlier regarding occupational therapy and speech therapy, but how is physical therapy involved with memory loss?
That's a really good question. A lot of people ask that question when they come into the facility. What people forget is just because you're mentally having deficits or you have some sort of memory loss doesn't always mean it's impacting you physically too. And sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. One of the things it does do, and we see it a lot with residents that do have dementia, Alzheimer's, is instability, gait instability. They can't walk as long anymore. Their tolerance for activities has declined because they're constantly just sitting because they don't know what to do with themselves. They have forgotten how to coordinate. So one of the best things a physical therapist comes in and does is does a lot of strengthening activities. They'll do a lot of building up tolerance activities with them, including coordination, reaching, stepping. One of the big things a physical therapist in our community does is they teach them how to step over different thresholds, because sometimes a resident forgets that when you're going from carpet to wood to concrete, they'll panic. They don't know what to do. A lot of residents come in and their balance is so off that sometimes we have to give them a device such as a walker or a rollator or a cane. They'll teach them how to use that. Again, just because you have memory loss doesn't mean that the body is all affected. And the physical therapist's goal in our community is to keep them as active as possible so they can enjoy that quality of life. They're just because they can't remember something doesn't mean that they can't participate standing outside and helping plant something or playing a game or just walking. And what our team does is when the resident comes in, the first thing they do is they evaluate them and they'll look at their likes and dislikes. And then the physical therapist, the occupational therapist, the speech therapist will step in and work on those components. And the physical therapist's biggest job is to make sure that that person can transfer safely. The caregivers know how to help them transfer safely. They'll teach the caregivers on cues to provide the resident to be as independent as possible. They'll make sure that they have the correct equipment so they prevent falls. They'll make sure their balance is safe. And those are some of the biggest key components, is being able to transfer balance and prevent falls. And that is their overlook.
And that's one of the things that we try to share to our audience as well, is that how the mind and the body, we sometimes view them differently, but no, they work together. Yep. They're in sync. So if something's a little bit off from a brain perspective, mm-hmm. the body will follow. Or sure. if we're not using our body enough, then the brain will go ahead and think, well, it's either you're using it or if not, I will lose it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and again, returning to the physical therapy, that's one of the things that we focus on regarding fall risk. Because if you fall, and I don't know if that's what happened to that patient wherein you said she broke her hip.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And other problems will go ahead and come into play.
Yes.
And so as we go ahead and consider, and I think, Darlene, you were here and as an observer when we did that podcast when sure. we were talking about comorbidity of other things that can take
yes.
place. So we just don't look at one problem and no. isolate it.
You have to look at the whole body.
Yeah, you have mm-hmm. to look at the whole body. And the whole thing.
And I think at Somerford, that's our goal, and that is what we train our staff, because we're not treating the disease, we're caring for the person. So it's not the disease why they won't get physical therapy. The person used to walk, we're going to encourage them to walk safely. The person used to get out and about, we're encouraging them to do that. Again, we want them to live a good life, to be independent and have that sense of security, as well as having the ability to be themselves safely. And dignity is huge.
And I think one phrase that I will highlight there is care for the person.
Yes.
That's what we need to focus on.
That's exactly right.
All right. Ms. Darlene, Ms. Bijal, I'm sure we can talk more about this. But this is our 30 minutes of sunshine. And again, to our listeners, thank you for listening in. For our next podcast, we are going to have Mr. Snellgrove. He is the president of HCGH, and he's one of the leaders for LHIC as well. And he will be our guest for our next podcast with Howard Community College's Dragon Digital Radio. Thank you for tuning in.